Welcome to today's episode of Teaching Writing. The topic today is good prompt, bad prompt, how to create a good writing assignment prompt. Well, let's get it over with. Let's get the bad prompts out of the way. Napoleon can be seen as both a hero and a part of oppression. Discuss. Here's another one. Buckminster Fuller's sustainable design was ultimately neither sustainable nor a novel design. Discuss. So, what makes these bad prompts? What is it that makes them difficult for students to write to? And ultimately, how does it not tell you whether or not a student is actually a good writer or is in command of the material that you're looking for them to discuss? That kind of thing. The real key core issue here, well, there's a bunch of them, but one of the core issues is could generally just be called context. Students don't have a context for writing to this prompt. They don't know exactly what you're looking for, what kinds of intellectual activities they're supposed to be doing. Another related aspect of this is motivating students. So they are looking at this prompt and they're thinking, why is this prompt useful to me as a student? Beyond getting a grade. So I want to be engaged in this material in a deeper way. How does this prompt help me? And if the prompt is too short, there isn't a lot of explanation for them. You're relying on them to figure that out. And that's a good chunk of them will not figure that out. One of the problems with those sorts of prompts, though, too, that I read to you, and I made them up or adapted them from existing ones. But one of the problems with them is they tend to occur in a list of half a dozen or 10 or in some cases, even longer lists of topics. And the problem with that is that you're giving students too much choice, which is to say a big part of the assignment then becomes sorting through those choices. One of the consequences of that is that they're going to spend a fair amount of time deliberating, thinking about those choices, getting started on one, and then being convinced that perhaps if they switch topics, somehow they'll figure this out, which in my experience is unlikely. Well, so much for bad prompts. Let's get started on good prompts. How do you take a bad prompt and make it into a good prompt? I'd like to point you to two resources. The first one is Barbara Walvoord's book, Assessing and Improving Student Writing in College. Now, in this book, she talks about ways in which you as an instructor can help students improve their writing on your assignments. One of the things that she points to is when you're directing students to read something as part of the assignment, make sure that you actually tell them in the assignment itself to read a piece of the textbook or some article that you've selected and point them to how they're supposed to use that information. In a related way, she also says one of the things you should probably think about doing is advising students to take notes. They may simply not think about doing that. These are basic habits that are fundamental, it seems, but by prompting them to do that, you may get that behavior. She also suggests that one thing you could do is advise students to draft more language than they're going to need. So one thing for you is to think about how much of the student writing do I really need to read? And so can I give them a shorter assignment, something that will be quicker for you to evaluate, but which by making it shorter, you're putting a different constriction on them and emphasizing that they need to be more concise and direct in what they're saying. So they may start by writing several pages, but only and end up submitting one or two. The last thing she says is make sure that you include a rubric or list of criteria by which the assignment will be graded. If you give them a very clear sense of how you're going to grade their work, they can then compare that with the assignment itself. So those two documents need to talk to each other. So whatever it is you write in the assignment description, those kinds of things that you're asking for in the assignment should also show up on that rubric. They'll see that those two things working together, and that will often convince them to really pay attention to those items. Walvoord provides the following list of items that should be on your assignment description. The first one is purpose of the assignment. What is it that students are learning to do? What is it they're doing in the assignment? The second item. Do. What should the student do in the assignment? What are the different steps that they're supposed to follow, for example? That kind of thing. Number 3, audience for the assignment. Who are they writing to? popular choices are other students in the class, the default audience is often the instructor. You should think hard about this, and if the instructor is the audience, what should you be telling them about you? What are you interested in hearing about? What are you not interested in hearing about? Item number 4, criteria for grading. Personally, I'll always put that on a separate sheet, post that online perhaps. This is the sheet that I'll actually use for grading, whether it's digital or virtual or an actual piece of paper, either way, but they'll be able to see what I'm going to be looking at. Number 5, process. What suggestions do you have for students about the thinking, researching, writing, and revising processes they should use? Very, very popular in our evaluations of assignments across Canada has been the idea of linked assignments. The first of 3 assignments would be a short 250-word paragraph proposing a topic. A second assignment might be an annotated bibliography, and the third assignment is the written-out draft of the paper. So those are linked assignments. They give you a kind of process. By virtue of giving different grades for each of those 3 linked assignments, students then follow that process. And finally, due dates. To follow up that written assignment description, here are some things you can do in class. Now, whether you have students create a timeline of the planned actions and the dates those actions should be done, or perhaps you're even going to do that, and maybe even with the linked assignments, you're giving them what is effectively a de facto kind of timeline. There's subtle things you can do in class too, such as mentioning, now, how many of you have read that chapter and then both done some activity that's related to the assignment? And just having a little couple of minute discussion about that and checking in with them will prompt them, hey, you know, I should be doing this thing. You might also ask them maybe to bring their notes or post their notes or post comments online or questions about the activity. So if they haven't started the activity, they won't have any questions about it, or that will become apparent too, and that becomes a teaching moment for you. I said a little while ago there were 2 books I wanted to point you to. Barbara Walford's book, Assessing and Improving Student Writing in College, is one of them. The second one is John Bean's Engaging Ideas. And particularly in the chapter on formal writing assignments, he summarizes the research and writing studies about 3 aspects of writing assignments. The first is that there should be some interactive component of the assignment. The second is that there should be a meaning-constructing task. So what you're asking them to do means that they have to construct meaning out of the materials, the research, the readings, that kind of thing. The third thing is that there should be a clear explanation of the writing expectation. So that's your rubric and your criteria. In his chapter, Bean talks about 4 aspects of writing assignments. Acronym for this is RAFT, and that stands for R, the role or purpose, audience, format or genre, and the task, the writing task. Regarding tasks, Bean points out that one of the most valuable things you can do for students is to suggest to them, in our discipline, this particular topic has been looked at 2 or 3 or several ways. And what I'd like you to do is figure out which of these ways you find persuasive, which is the right way to understand this phenomenon. So set the task as a kind of a problem for the students to solve through doing research. Now, students are going to be unclear about the purpose of the assignment, so you need to make that clear. Is the main purpose of the assignment to provide information, to inform? Is it to analyze, to explain something for a reader? Is it to persuade the reader of a particular way of looking at something? Finally, is the task to get the reader to understand something in more complexity? So you're exploring. The second aspect is audience. Bean points out that what you're trying to do by specifying an audience is indicate to the students that the people reading their texts currently think X. After reading the text that they produce, they will then think Y. And so their goal here is to change the reader's perspective on the subject of the paper. It's important that you specify also the format or genre. The format and genre are really quite different things, but let's focus on genre for a moment. Some genres are things like op-ed pieces. A memo can be a genre. A report can be a different kind of genre. So what kind of document are you expecting them to produce? Different genres do different kinds of work, and in different disciplines, they operate under different rules. So you need to make clear to them what's the kind of thing you're expecting them to produce and what are the rules for how they are constructed and how is that going to look. Finally, a key component is the interactive components. A key thing that you need to do is construct ways in which students can interact with either you or other students in the course as they go through the process of writing this document. So they can be posting questions online, they can be sharing thesis statements, they could send you a thesis statement. You could create three linked short assignments, two shorter assignments, and then the final draft as the third assignment. All of those ways are ways in which you promote an interaction with them ahead of the final grading. And those are all really, really good things to do. The last thing to provide them with, of course, is the evaluation criteria for that grading. That's an absolutely key component, and it affects the quality of their writing. If they understand what the criteria are, then they will be able to provide that criteria much more better than if they don't. So keep an eye on that, and also try to get them to try to use that criteria through peer review and that kind of thing. It's by trying to apply it that they come to understand that they don't really understand what that criterion is. Through some kind of discussion, or if you can see that in class, by talking about that with them, if they then understand the criteria better, when they go to look at their own document, they'll probably do a much better job of editing it. So to sum up, bad prompts are usually pretty short and lack a lot of context around them. Good prompts are longer, explain something about the process, point to an audience, explain the purpose of the piece. There was some really interesting work done a few years ago where some researchers in New York and Boston, I think it was, they asked students what was their most memorable writing assignment that they had through their four-year university careers. That was really interesting work to see what it is they said. My takeaway from listening to the researchers was this, that if you connect the student experience with the thing that you're asking them to do, then they really go after the assignment. They make it part of who they are and what they want to do, and it becomes memorable for them for those reasons. So when you're thinking about posing an assignment to students, try to think about how is this going to connect with them? How does this connect with what they're trying to accomplish through their degree programs or in their life more generally? How do they make those connections? And that often will spark things. They'll work harder on the work. You'll read better writing, and it will be more meaningful to them in the end. Well, thanks for listening. I hope that you'll comment on the podcast, link to it, and become a follower. Thanks very much. My name is Roger Graves. I'm at the University of Alberta. You can contact me at roger.graves@ualberta.ca.